We welcome everyone to the Gospel meeting tonight. We appreciate you coming. We trust you'll be blessed of God and your soul. We know it's a wet night, but we understand in Eastern Canada tonight there's a snowstorm. So it's easier to shovel rain than snow. We're glad to see you. Our Lord willing, the rest of this week, except Saturday, a Gospel meeting at 8 o'clock. A prayer meeting at 7:30, and one after this meeting, and each night, for a short time to lay hold upon God. God visited us the first week, and we've been trying ever since to preach the gospel. We trust that God will visit again. We look to Him. The power is not in us, but it is in God. We're glad to see you. We welcome you here and we announce these meetings in the will of the Lord. I would like to read tonight in the Gospel by Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Now the Gospel by Luke, chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumb which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now a final reading in the Epistle to the Galatians in chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord without a blessing to the reading of his own word. I would like tonight to speak on things that have been discovered. In our history books, they tell us 1492, Columbus discovered America. That was a big discovery. Many great discoveries have been made since. But when we come to God's book, we find that greater discoveries can be made. In Mark chapter 5, we have read of a woman, and she discovered that her efforts to cure herself were fruitless. She tried for 12 years, spent all the money that she had in getting a cure for her disease. Many souls, they spend great effort trying to get saved. But yet God's salvation is not in your efforts. God's salvation is in his Son. We read that solemn verses in Luke chapter 16. I remember one night preaching in Green Timbers in Surrey, many years ago. Nothing but trees and only five or six houses where we had the portable hall erected. I read Luke chapter 16. On the way out of the meeting that night, a man gave me a notebook and a pencil. He says, write down where you read tonight. He says, I never heard that before. I didn't know that was in the Bible. And I'm going home to find out if it's in my Bible. Now, friend, these are solemn searching things. In Luke chapter 16, a man by the name of Lazarus, whose name means, God is my help. He discovered the reality of heaven. What a grand discovery. We read of a rich man. He discovered that hell was a real place whenever it was too late. You and I are traveling to one of those two places tonight. And if you have never been born again on the authority of God's book, my friend, you're traveling to hell. You see, the hell of the Bible is not what people oftentimes tend to say. I remember as a young man, we boys used to joke around and talk about, well, if we land in hell, we'll be the chief stoker. That's glib language. Hell is real. There are multitudes in it tonight. There are multitudes on the way to it. And if you are not saved, you are amongst that number. Take a look into the pages of the Word of God. Men's opinions are not worth a snap of your finger. But we can depend on God's book. And the description that we have in it of a place called hell. An awful place. A dreadful place. A place where sinners go who reject Christ as their personal Savior. But then we read in Galatians chapter 2. Paul discovered, he made a great discovery. Paul discovered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ a personal Savior. For he said, the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself for me. 43 years ago almost, it'll be 43 years next month, I made the same discovery. I found out that the Lord Jesus Christ loved me, and he died for my sins on the cross. That's why we appreciate God's great salvation tonight. Saul of Tarsus was not always saved, or the Apostle Paul as we know him. There was a time when he persecuted the people of God. He had no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, when God saved him, why, his whole life from then on was spent because of his love to Christ. He spent his life in the service of God. Coming to know the Savior was the turning point in his life, was the pivot of change, when instead of going to hell, he was on his way to God's heaven. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now we know that you could say that in language. You could teach a parrot to say it, but that wouldn't mean it was saved. But we sang those words tonight in that chorus. I love them because gospel and salvation is so simple in them. My sins were laid on Jesus. How do I know? Did my mother tell me? She did. But where did she get her information? My friend, it brings us back to God's book. My sins were laid on Jesus. This would be a grand night in your life if you would make this great discovery that your sins were laid on Jesus when he died on Calvary. You see, your sins can't be on you and on Christ at the same time. I held on to my sins for over 20 years. But then I found out Christ died for my sins, and I let them go. And I don't have them tonight. And they've been gone for over 40 years. And I've rejoiced over 40 years, knowing my sins were laid on Jesus when he died on Calvary. That's what salvation is. Now this woman made a great discovery. She discovered that with all her efforts, they were to no avail in obtaining a cure for her disease. Now she had a disease that she couldn't cure. You have a disease tonight that you can't cure. That disease is your sin. God hates your sin. But friend, he loves you. He loves you so much, he gave his son to the shameful death of a cross that you might be saved. Now that is love. This woman found out. She made the great discovery. She went to one physician after another. They drained her pockets. And she was getting worse all the time. People wanting to be saved, they spend every effort in their being, trying to believe, trying to do things that they might be saved. Friend, tonight, the gospel message is clear. The work has been done. Christ has died. Salvation has been provided. You can come into the good of it by receiving him as your personal Savior. She discovered her efforts were fruitless, and there she was in all her need. We think that she had her mind made up. She was a woman of determination. She made up her mind like this: if a cure is possible, I'm going to get it. Now we believe that souls who make up their mind, I want salvation more than everything else in this world, but yet your efforts will never get you salvation. It's whenever you come to an end of yourself. It requires a complete surrender. A surrender to God and complete dependence on what God has declared in His Word for the saving of that soul of yours. Now she came, she heard of Jesus. Very simple thing. You have heard a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. Likely far more than what she heard. But she heard of Jesus. Then she came. Very simple. She heard. She came. A large crowd around. There was her hindrance. The crowd is still around the Savior, trying to turn the sinner aside. The devil doesn't want you to get saved. The Bible describes the devil as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means he's seeking you to destroy your soul in hell, in misery, eternally, if you miss this great salvation. It says he's a roaring lion. When a lion roars, he's hungry. The devil, he's a hungry lion, wanting to drag your soul down into the everlasting burning. My friend, if you miss Christ, he'll get you. He's out to get you. And then if you die in your sins, that's where you'll be for all eternity. Some people think they've got to listen to a lot of gospel before they get saved. Well, my dad only heard the gospel twice before God saved him. He was brought up in a certain part of Northern Ireland. Then they moved to the village where I was born twice. In that village, there was just a hall, a gospel hall. There was no assembly. Just a few Christians lived in that village, and they had a gospel testimony on Sunday night. But they asked two men to come and preach the gospel. And these two men came. My grandmother had been saved many years before. And the first time that she sat in a gospel meeting in that little village, when she heard two men preach, now she had been a churchgoer, but God had saved her. And when she told the minister she was saved, he thought she had gone crazy. But she came to hear the gospel. And as she listened to it, she says, I've got what those men are preaching. I've got the salvation that they're preaching about. She couldn't have told you she was saved, but she knew there was a transformation in her soul by the Spirit of God a number of years before. She didn't know the language. So she asked my dad, who was her son, to go and hear the gospel. And he promised his mother he would go on some night. 5 weeks passed, almost six. He was in the company of three other young men. And they were brought up in a Christian home. And they were going to the meeting that night. Well, he thought, this is my chance. I'll fulfill my mother's wish, and I'll go to hear the gospel tonight, a Friday night. He went that night. The man preached. He only heard one word. That word was eternity. It bothered him. Eternity. An endless eternity. Either in heaven or in hell. Saturday morning bothered him still. Every nail that he hit rang out eternity. Every step that he took, eternity. He figured it out this way. If that's how gospel meetings affect you, I'll not be back. Many a person has come and heard the gospel. They've got the whole message in the first night. That's what he said on Saturday. But Sunday night he was found back in the gospel meeting. And he heard two men preach again. And then those meetings closed. Thursday night, his 11 sisters, they'd all gone to bed. And he was there in the kitchen with his mother. And she said to him, "Is there something bothering you?" "No," he said, "there's nothing bothering me." She was a wise woman. She said, "It was something that you heard at the meeting?" He said, "It was." He said, "Eternity has bothered me and haunted me since last Friday night." In her simplicity, she told him how she could see it. But he couldn't see anything in that. But he was standing with his hand on the newel post. That's the post at the bottom of the stairs. And she said to him, "All you have to do to be saved is to trust Christ." Well, he said, "If that's all you have to do, I'll trust him now. You see, I will trust him now." And that moment, he was saved for eternity. He died this year after 68 years, saved by the grace of God. This woman came in the press behind. She had spent all her money. She was getting worse. She heard of Jesus. She came to Jesus. Don't we preach at times, and it has been preached in these meetings? "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." She heard, and she came. And she says, "If I could only touch his clothes, I would be whole." Well, she could have stood there. She could have known the way of cleansing. But if she hadn't touched, she would never have been healed. But she came on that crowd behind. And she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately, she was made whole. You know the way of salvation. If we asked you tonight, how does a person get saved? You would ring out, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that's how you get saved. But you need to act upon it. You say, "Well, I believe," and wait for a feeling. That's not believing. That's rank unbelief. Friend, believing is simply taking God at His Word, resting your soul for eternity on the Word of God. She touched. You can't touch tonight, but you can trust the same Savior, the very one that she touched. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." That's what salvation is. Isaiah trusted God because God was his salvation, his deliverer. Christ died for our sins. Christ is my deliverer. This woman, she touched the hem of his garment and she found out her 12 years of trying, which were futile. Now by a touch of the Savior, she was healed. Do you think she was happy? It says that she felt in her body. Her disease was in her body. And as soon as she touched, she knew that she was whole. But the Lord Jesus said to her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." We read Lazarus discovered heaven whenever he died. It was 2 years ago today that my wife was buried. And I remember standing in that open grave and the casket lowered down. I knew where she was. Lazarus at death was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That is a comfort to a child of God. But the rich man died and he was buried. He lifted up his eyes in torment. rain tonight. You're either traveling to heaven or you're traveling to hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is a place where Christ rejecters go. It's an awful place. It's a place of eternal misery and eternal woe. We trust that tonight you'll flee from the wrath which is to come. God has made provision for you. The devil says you have lots of time. You don't. I don't think there's a day passed since we came here that I haven't seen an accident. I saw one the day again. I don't know how serious it was, but it happens every day around these parts. Accidents, murders, souls going out into eternity. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if you were caught, if your soul left earth for the great beyond? Oh, dreadful thought, in hell to burn, never to come back anymore. What an awful place. Paul discovered in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, a personal Savior. He said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Salvation for everybody. But that wouldn't do me any good. But salvation for me. And I rest my soul on the blood of the cross, on the person of Christ, that he died in my place for my sin, that I might be set free. Christ paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take away my sins, and I found him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him tonight. You'll be happy. That doesn't say you won't have unhappy moments. But as far as eternity is concerned, my friend, you'll have peace in your soul. If you don't get saved, you'll never have any peace in this life, nor in the one to come. May you get to Christ tonight.